Gladys and the Real Deal. Hello, this is Natasha, and I'm dropping by with the final part of our series about a girl band called The Chicks, and their brainy younger sister called Gladys. If you heard their last episode, you'll know that they took part in the Eurovision Song Contest. You may have heard their song, Life is a Circus. But unfortunately, it didn't win. It was Monday morning, the first after the Chicks had returned from Istanbul and the Eurovision Song Contest, where they had taken second place. The girls were waiting for the bus to take them to school. An old lady who was sitting on the bench by the stop looked them up and down warily, as if she thought they were going to mug her. Then she commented, "You look like them girls that were singing on the telly on Saturday evening."
"Yeah, lots of people have said that," replied Laura.
"I thought the boy who won it was nice, but our lot looked like they'd never seen a hairbrush," continued the old lady. "It's surprising anyone voted for them, really." When the bus arrived, they went upstairs and sat at the front of the top deck. The bus followed the river on one side and a row of suburban houses on the other. The girls sat silently, each of them wondering how Monday mornings would have changed if they had won. They didn't know that a reporter from Breakfast TV was waiting for them at the school gate. Various schoolgirls were pulling faces and waving at the camera and saying,
"Film me, I'm Laura," or "I'm Gladys, ask me a clever question," or "Listen to me sing, life's a circus, cha la la la."
When the real Chicks walked past, the reporter asked if they would mind telling her what it felt like to be going back to school. Laura looked annoyed and said, "What do you think it feels like? Is this a wind-up or what?" Fortunately, the camera wasn't filming. In the interview that went out live on TV, Gladys said that they were all looking forward to going back to school and that nothing would have been different if they had won. "And what about those who are predicting a glittering future ahead of you?" asked the reporter.
"Yeah, that's what our manager keeps on saying," said Mandy, "but we'll see."
But they didn't have long to wait to find out. Their manager Arnie left 6 messages on Gladys's mobile phone that day, each with an offer for the Chicks to perform on TV or at a special concert or to go to a party. And for the rest of the week, Gladys's phone kept on ringing. It seemed that the public and the music business loved the Chicks and didn't care at all that they had come second. On Saturday morning, Laura went into the convenience store for some biscuits. As she was waiting to pay, she cast her eye over the magazine rack. She noticed that a picture of the Chicks was on the cover of a weekly rag about celebrity gossip. The headline read, "The Unglamour Girls." Laura felt annoyed that she had to pay £2 just to read about herself and her sisters. And she felt even more angry when she saw that the article was about how the Chicks were the first chart-topping girl band not to care about how they looked in public. It had snapshots of the girls in jogging pants and old trainers, as well as in school uniform with laddered tights. The article concluded, "Scruffy is the new smart." When she showed it to the other girls, they were all seething with rage. "How could they write that?" Sam demanded.
"Gladys, can't you get Arnie to stop them saying things like that about us?"
Gladys looked at the article and thought out loud,
"Well, I don't know.
It's sort of saying that we are setting the trend." But the Chicks spent all afternoon shopping and getting ready for the evening when they were invited out to a Swish nightclub for the birthday party of Nigel Newcastle, the lead singer of the Joy Wheelers. Laura and Mandy went to the hairdressers. As they trooped down the stairs on their way out, Dad took a double take.
"Who are those gorgeous ladies? Are they my daughters?"
"They've done themselves up," said Gladys, who wasn't going to the party because she was too young to spend all night in a club. The following Saturday, Laura came back from the convenience store beside herself with rage. She was clutching a copy of Hi There magazine. On page 22, there was a picture of her walking out of the party on the arm of Nigel Newcastle.
"Nigel picks a chick," it said,
adding that he was romancing the scruffy 16-year-old singer of the schoolgirl band sensation, The Chicks.
"If there's any romance, Nigel's not told me about it," claimed Laura. "They just make this stuff up.
And why do they keep on calling me Scruffy? Gladys told the girls to ignore what the media was saying and just to make the best music that they could. She continued to write songs and the chicks went to regular rehearsals as well as dancing and singing classes. They were performing on TV shows and giving interviews on radio about once a week now. Their songs were topping the download charts on the internet and they were getting used to seeing their pictures in the papers. The next Saturday, Gladys went out to the convenience store with Laura because she wanted to buy a notebook. As they were standing in the queue for the till, a girl who was about the same age as Gladys came up to them and said, "I really like your songs. Can I take your photograph on my mobile phone, please?" Before Gladys could answer, Laura snapped, "No, buzz off. Can't you see we just got out of bed?" When they were outside the shop, Gladys said, "That wasn't very nice. Now we've lost a fan." "Plenty more where she came from." "Got to be nice to the public," insisted Gladys. "It's part of the deal." "Don't remember signing no deal like that," said Laura. "Well, it's an unwritten one. It's like this. We owe everything to our fans. We've got to give something back to them, or the world will get round that we're a bunch of sport brats." And sure enough, the following week, Hi There magazine had a grainy picture of Laura snarling and pointing at the girl in the shop. Her mum had taken the photo and sent it to the magazine. This time, Laura didn't even bother to complain. The bad publicity didn't hurt the chicks' popularity. The newspapers were never exactly polite about them. But they also admitted that the girls were the real deal. And it was refreshing to see their youthful faces, unadorned by bright lipstick and false eyelashes. They were a new type of girl band that didn't seem to have been invited by the music industry, but who sung their own music straight from the heart while continuing to go to school, dress badly and live normal lives. But Gladys was no longer achieving straight A's at school on a regular basis. At parents' evening, a teacher told her dad that Gladys had to choose between music and work. In a few years' time, the chick's fame might have faded and Gladys would have lost her chance of going to university. Dad told this to Gladys, and she felt really bad and decided to spend less time going with her sisters to performances and TV shows. "After all," she said to herself, "I'm not in the band. I'm not old enough to have a boyfriend. The newspapers have nothing to gossip about me." Gladys spent more time on her homework, but she was often up late answering emails from Arnie or their public relations manager, and most often of all from their fans. Quite often she was tired at school and struggled to pay attention. Her report said, "A disappointing term for Gladys." A week later, after school broke up for the holidays, Gladys joined her sisters for a big night at the music industry's annual award ceremony. Their song, "Life is a Circus," had been nominated for Best Debut Single. "I don't care if we win or not," said Sam. "I'm rooting for the Robinsons," said Mandy. "That way I won't be too disappointed whatever the result is." But in truth, all the girls were sitting with tensed-up stomach muscles as Nigel Newcastle stood on stage and opened the envelope for their category. "And this year's winner for the best debut single is Life is a Circus by the Chicks." Their song started to play through the loudspeakers, and the three girls walked through the dining tables and up onto the stage to accept their trophy. "Yay, for once we won something," said Sam into the microphone. "But where did Gladys get to?" asked Laura. Gladys had stayed behind at the dining table because she wasn't in the band. She only wrote the songs and managed things behind the scenes. "Come on, Gladys," called Mandy. "We couldn't have done it without you." And Gladys saw that her three sisters were beckoning to her. She shook her head, but they kept on insisting. And Nigel Newcastle said into the microphone, "Gladys, come on and get your award, darling." So she had no choice but to climb up the steps onto the stage. Nigel handed her the trophy and her sisters lifted it up onto their shoulders. The audience clapped, whooped and cheered. In the taxi on the way back home, Gladys sat silently. "Hey, Gladys, are you feeling sad or just a little tired?" asked Mandy. "Both," said Gladys. "Because you see, I can't go on like this. I mean, I don't have much time to do all the work for the chicks and revise for my exams at school. It's just too much for me. It's not just writing the songs. There's all the emails and the phone calls, the accounts and the contracts to keep an eye on. It takes up much more time than you seem to think.
I mean, anyone can sing and go to parties. But if you want to succeed, you've got to be smart and stay on top of everything. And Mandy said, You're right, Gladdy. We never understood how important all of that stuff was. We don't do enough to help you.
But we will, said Laura. From now on, we'll share all the boring work, because Gladdy's got brains, and it wouldn't be fair if she didn't do well at school because she spent all her time helping us to make it big.
Promises, promises, said Gladys. But over the past year, the girls had learned far more than Gladys had realised. They did now understand that the boring stuff was as important as all the exciting part of being famous. Mandy started to take more of the phone calls and answer the emails. To begin with, she often lost things and wasn't quite as efficient as Gladys, but she soon started to learn, and Laura to appreciate the fans and be nice to them. And Sam worked harder at school, though not quite so hard as Gladys. And Gladys continued to write the songs and to read the important contracts, but she had time to do her homework and get a good night's sleep. And in the summer exams, Gladys got straight A's in every subject. Her end-of-term report said, Gladys has worked hard and deserves every success. And that's the story of the chicks and the real deal. I do hope that you've enjoyed following the chicks' rise to fame as much as I have. Reading all of the chicks' stories so far has been absolute fun for me at Story Nori. It was great to record the song with two musicians, and I definitely identify with all her hard work and setbacks that we can all get in life. For now, from me, Natasha, bye-bye!